And I just want to set the scene again briefly, just so that you kind of got your mind in what's happening. But Jesus is up on a mountain, and he's gone down to kind of a level place on the mountain, and he stood there. And what's happening is that the crowds have come to him. They want to be healed. They want to be listening to what he's got to say. And yet in the middle of this group, you'll see what happens. If you turn to Luke 6 and look at verse 20, you'll see that he's looking at his disciples. He's very directly here teaching those that have said, yeah, Jesus, we want to follow you. We want to listen to you. We want to learn from you. So that's the section that we're in. This is teaching to his disciples. And we pick up the reading at chapter 6 and verse 37. Do not judge, and you will not be judged. Do not condemn, and you will not be condemned. Forgive, and you will be forgiven. Give, and it will be given to you. A good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, will be poured into your lap. For with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. He also told them this parable. Can the blind lead the blind? Will they not both fall into a pit? The student is not above the teacher, but everyone who is fully trained will be like their teacher. Why do you look at the speck of sawdust in your brother's eye and pay no attention to the plank in your own eye? How can you say to your brother, "Brother, let me take the speck out of your eye," when you yourself fail to see the plank in your own eye? You hypocrite, first take the plank out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye. No good tree bears bad fruit, nor does a bad tree bear good fruit. Each tree is recognized by its own fruit. People do not pick figs from thorn bushes or grapes from briars. A good man brings good things out of the good stored up in his heart. And an evil man brings evil things out of the evil stored up in his heart. For the mouth speaks what the heart is full of. Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do what I say? As for everyone who comes to me and hears my words and puts them into practice, I will show you what they are like. They are like a man building a house who dug down deep and laid the foundation on rock. When the flood came, the torrent struck that house but could not shake it because it was well built. But the one who hears my words and does not put them into practice is like a man who built a house on the ground without a foundation. The moment the torrent struck that house, it collapsed. And its destruction was complete. Last year, my daughter and I, Amy, we were watching a triathlon on TV. And I think it was one of the World Series or something. And one of the things I really distinctly remember about this race was that one of the marshals, the triathlon marshals, was waving his hand. And he started to send some of the triathletes in the wrong direction. So some of these first runners were actually heading down a path they shouldn't have been. Now, they soon realised and they leapt over the fence and they got back on the right path. But actually, it highlights a problem, doesn't it? Who you follow, whose directions you're taking, can really matter. We live in a follow-me culture, don't we? I put up a little Twitter logo on the screen. But this is what we do, isn't it? We are in this follow-me type world where we're looking for people to tell us stuff, to lead us, to inform us. Who we follow can really shape us, it can teach us, it can change the direction, just like those triathletes where you're running, right? That's the reality. And this morning, as we listen in to this teaching of our Lord Jesus on this mountain, he has a warning for followers this morning. And he says, be careful who you follow. Be careful who you follow. Be careful who you listen to. Be careful who you let direct you in a certain direction. And actually, in the middle of this teaching, because there's quite a lot going on in this section, but in the middle of these teaching, there are three stories that Jesus tells. And those stories help us this morning to get our heads round the importance of following Jesus, the importance of letting him take the lead. And actually, these stories then put up the alternative and the danger of not following Jesus. That's what he's doing. The importance this morning of following the Lord Jesus, the one who calls us from the old into the new. And so using these three stories that he tells, these three little parables, I want to show you three things about following Jesus this morning. First of all, this. Those who follow Jesus, that is, who've left their old and are sitting at his feet listening to him, those who follow Jesus are learning to be like him. Those who follow Jesus are learning to be like him. I was driving in a car once with a friend. We were both going to this place that we'd never been to before. And we were getting kind of directions. I roughly knew where it was. It was kind of in an area. Hey, Pete, you're right. I was in an area. Hey, Maxine. I was in an area I was familiar with. So I kind of thought, yeah, I know the way. And so I was giving my mate directions. We were driving. We got the main roads. We were doing really well. And then suddenly there was a road that was closed. And I had no idea how to get there because this road was closed. And we ended up on these, you know, these tiny little country lanes where you just kind of, there's no room for even the car you're in, let alone anything else. And, you know, but pride kicked in and I'm like, no, I know the way. And I kept giving instructions to my friend, but it very soon became a case of the blind leading the blind. Neither of us knew where we were going and we ended up horrendously lost. Now have a look with me at verse 39. Thankfully, it's not just me who does this kind of thing. Verse 39, he told them this story. Jesus tells them a story. Can the blind lead the blind? It's a question. Can the blind lead the blind? No. What will happen? Will they not both fall into a pit? The answer is yes. That's the story Jesus tells. Jesus gives a warning that actually we have to be very careful who we let lead us. Who we let teach us, train us, instruct us. Because if you are following another blind person, actually the result is you'll both end up in the pit. Or like me and my friend, we'll end up lost in some country lanes with no idea where we are. But look at verse 40. Here's the contrast. The blind can't lead the blind. But then Jesus switches picture. Here's the first story, you see. The student is not above the teacher. But everyone who is fully trained will be like his teacher. In contrast, Jesus is saying, look, a blind man can't lead a blind man, but if you follow me, you're following a teacher. You're following one who knows what he's talking about. If you're following me, then you'll be led in a certain direction. A student and a teacher, someone being trained by someone who knows what they're talking about. Those who listen to Jesus and follow his lead are listening to the one who teaches us how to live God's way in God's world. That's who we're listening to. That's the voice. It's not us blind people who don't see, who don't know what we're really on about, listening to another person who doesn't know what they're on about. We're listening to the Son of God, who knows God's world, who made us, who came into this world to help us. When we follow Jesus, we're listening to the one who came to tell us things we don't know about ourselves. And we're also come to listen to the one who is then training us to be like him, the Son of God. And so Jesus says, be careful who you follow. Be careful who you follow. Be careful who you let lead you, take you in a direction. And if you're a follower of Jesus this morning, if you've been called, as it were, from the old, that's what we've been seeing with lots of characters like Levi, you know, they're called out of this old way of life into a new, then do you know what we should be this morning? We should be people who are learning, it's ongoing, it's not just something that happens overnight. We are learning to be like Jesus because we're taking his lead. We're letting him say, yeah, I want to learn from you. I want to follow you. I want you to direct me in life. We're learning from him what we need to know and we're learning to be like him. There are so many voices. I was trying to look it up this week, but I found a figure once of how many voices an average person hears in a day. And it was some crazy number. But there are voices all around us that want you to follow their lead. Buy my products, you'll have a better life. Shop in my shop, you'll be better off. You know, whatever it might be, do this for your health and you'll be a really healthy person. There are people who want us all the time to follow their lead, to follow their direction. But Jesus says, can the blind lead the blind? Can the blind tell you where to go? when it comes to knowing God, to knowing life, to understanding this world. No, they can't. But Jesus can. And sandwiching this little story, you see verse 39 and 40 about the blind leading the blind and a student and a teacher. Sandwiching this little story, either side, we've got some teaching of Jesus. We've got some teaching about the way that we need to behave if we are to be like the Lord Jesus. And that's, have a look there, verse 37. Because this is what he's talking about. It's something, first of all, we need to know about ourselves. And it's something we need to know about the way we're to treat others. He says, do not judge, and you will not be judged. Do not condemn, and you will not be condemned. Now, what is Jesus talking about? You can imagine the thoughts that were going through my mind again, even after Friday, can't you? Having read a passage like this, do not judge, do not condemn. Is Jesus telling his followers that we must never, ever cast an opinion about something being right or wrong? Is Jesus telling us that as a group of people, we can never say of actions of a society that is not right? Is Jesus saying to us that we can never tell our kids that a behaviour is right or wrong? Can we never be people who point out to one another that perhaps what we're doing is not in line with what God has said? Well, no, I don't think Jesus is saying that. Because actually, what we're seeing here, Jesus himself, as we go on in Luke's Gospel, is someone who casts judgment. Now, he has a right to do that as the Son of God, but he casts judgment over behaviour that's right and wrong. What Jesus is talking about here for followers is the heart attitude that picks at other people's faults, forgetting that we have faults of our own. That's what he's telling his believers about here. We're so quick, I don't know about you, perhaps I just stand here as a man more guilty than you, but we are so quick to point out other people's faults, forgetting that we are in the same messy boat, aren't we? We're so quick to leap on people and say, oh, you shouldn't have done that, or you shouldn't have behaved that way. So it could be this critical attitude, you know, that the conversations you have behind closed doors when you get home from church, or when you get in from work, or when you've been out shopping, did you see the way that person behaved or that person treated me? And we're very hypercritical, with no mercy, with no love, with no understanding that we're in the same place. We're so quick to judge, aren't we? The word that the Bible uses for that is self-righteous.
Cynical.
Yeah, this kind of sense of being kind of better than you. I am better than you. And when I'm picking a hole in you, it's because I think I'm better than you. That is the attitude that Jesus is condemning. He's not talking about law court. Law court has a place. Right and wrong has a place. He's talking about his followers' heart, saying you cannot go up to people and say, you shouldn't have behaved like that. You know, that's wrong. I'm glad I'm not like you. You know, this is better than you, self-righteous attitude. That has no place among the people of God. And look at verse 41, you see, because here's a story that points out this is what he's talking about. 41 says, why do you look at the speck of sawdust in your brother's eye and pay no attention to the plank in your own eye? I think sometimes we think Jesus was devoid of a sense of humour, but that is a very funny story. You know, you can imagine it. When you try and draw it out, it is a funny story, but it makes a very serious point. You know, how can this person with like this huge plank of wood walk along, you know, kind of sticking out, go up to someone and say, oh, I think you've got something in your eye. Me and my kids, we do this at dinner sometimes where, this is probably going to put you off from me completely, but sometimes I like smudge food on my face when my kids have got a little bit like there. And I say, oh, you've got something on your face there. And they're looking at me like, what are you doing, Dad? You've got this massive pile of food on your face, but you're pointing out this tiny little bit of speck here. But it's just to prove a point that sometimes we're like that, aren't we? We go up to other people and we say, yo, let me pick at your little fault, your little speck there, when actually our faces are smudged in food ourselves and we've got this plank in our own eye. And Jesus is saying here, look, you hypocrites, this is the attitude that we've got to not have. We've not got to go up to other people and say to them, you know, you're so full of faults, forgetting that ourselves, we are so full of sin. We're so full of faults.
Nathan.
Yeah.
Outside.
What's that?
The plank.
Oh, the plank. Yeah. That's very true. Actually, I forgot about that. That's the point, isn't it? We are so quick. We are so quick to see other people's faults, but we need to remember that our own life is messy. Our own life is full of faults. And following Jesus, first of all, it starts with recognizing that we are people who have a plank in our own eye. Did you know that's where it starts with following Jesus? It starts with recognizing that you have a life that is full of sin. And actually, if there was anyone who could come into this world and say to us, you've got a plank in your eye, it was the Lord Jesus. But what did he come into this world to do? What did he come in? Have a look at verse 37. He says, forgive and you will be forgiven. He says, give and it will be given to you. The Lord Jesus is the one who came into the world not to judge and condemn us, but to forgive. See, that's the attitude we're to show. He came to say, you've got a plank in your eye, but I've come to forgive you. You've got you're full of sin, you're full of faults, but I've come to forgive you. And as we remember the way that we've been treated by the Lord Jesus, he calls us to be the same towards others. Are we acting with generosity to people? Are we acting with forgiveness? To forgive means to let go of someone's faults. See, when are we the worst at pointing out other people's faults? It's when someone riles us, isn't it? When someone rattles our cage, when someone gets us angry. That's when we go for them, thinking I'm better than you. How many arguments in your home or in your life are started because someone has annoyed you and you then go for them? But actually, Jesus says that his followers, those who have been treated with forgiveness and generosity, are to be those who learn to be like him. And they're forgiving and they're not condemning of others. They recognize their own faults. Jesus came into this world to die on a cross. He had no sawdust, as it were, in his own eye. He had nothing wrong with him. He could see very clearly our problem, but he came. He came to die on a cross that our sins might be forgiven, that we might be restored, that we might be shown generosity rather than taking the condemnation we deserve. Following Jesus shows us a great need that we have. Do you see that? Actually, coming to Jesus, first of all, starts with the teacher, not the blind leading the blind, but the teacher saying to us, you have a plank in your own eye and you need forgiveness. And then it overflows in the way that we're to treat others. And so very simply, if you're following Jesus here this morning, a question I want to ask is that, is this the way that we're treating others? Are we learning from Jesus to be like Jesus? Or are we swanning around condemning others in their behaviour, the way they speak, the way they behave, the way they raise their kids, the way they spend their money? Are we condemning others rather than saying, actually, do you know what, we should be like Jesus, the one who treated us with mercy and with grace and forgiveness? And actually, I want you to understand something, because something needs explaining in these verses, I think. Verse 37, do not judge and you will not be judged. I want us to understand this morning, because it fits with the rest of Luke, that Jesus isn't saying you earn your forgiveness by forgiving others. Actually, the pattern is like this. You see, a follower of Jesus, and that's who he's addressing. A follower of Jesus is someone who has been shown forgiveness by the Lord Jesus. This is how we've been treated. And then he says that this is how I now want you to treat others. But he gives a warning that if your life as a follower of Jesus continues to fail to show mercy to others, to fail to show forgiveness to others, then he says, don't be surprised if Jesus then treats you the same way. Treating others like Jesus has treated us is an evidence that we're following Jesus. And so do our lives display that kind of evidence? Are we quick to judge? Are we quick to condemn? Are we quick to have this better than you attitude? Or are we those who are quick to forgive and quick to give and be generous to others? So the first thing Jesus says, be careful who you follow. Be careful who you're following. Because actually those who follow Jesus will be learning to be like Jesus. You follow, you learn from those that you are following. But Jesus says, follow him. Because he's the one who will teach us to be like him. Listen to him. The second thing Jesus says is this. Those who follow him are recognisable. They are easily spotted. So boys and girls, there's a story in this part of the Bible. But if we were to go up to a tree today and there were oranges on it, what would we say about that tree? What sort of tree is it? It's an orange tree. It's very easy, isn't it? If there were apples on the tree, what would we say about the tree? It's an apple tree. The fruit on the outside helps you to understand what is on the inside, unless someone has gone up and nailed on some apples or something, in which case it's not really an apple tree, it's a deceiving tree. But the fruit that a tree grows shows you what's on the inside of the tree, what type of tree it is. Now, Jesus, just look with me at the story in verse 43. that Jesus tells. No good tree bears bad fruit, nor does a bad tree bear good fruit. Each tree is recognized by its own fruit. People do not pick figs from thorn bushes or grapes from briars. A tree, Jesus says, is recognized by its fruit. We've just talked about that, haven't we? That you can go up to a tree and say, this is an apple tree, this is an orange tree. But Jesus also says that if you are one of his followers, someone should be able to walk up to us and by the fruit that's growing on our life, they say, oh, that's a Jesus tree. Now, you're not literally, and you're not literally going to grow fruit on you. But the point is that your life will produce fruit based on who you follow. Jesus' followers are recognizable. That's what he's saying. Now look at verse 45. This is how we know it's true. A good man brings good things out of the good stored up in his heart. And an evil man brings evil things out of the evil stored up in his heart. The heart, certainly at the time that they were writing here, was considered to be the engine room of your life. It's the bit of you that makes you you. It's the bit of you that makes decisions. It's the bit of you that determines kind of what your hands do and your legs do and your mouth does. And basically what you do with your life. It's kind of the driving force. And Jesus says that as he calls people to be his followers, where does he get to work on us? It's actually in our hearts. It's what's going on the inside. Jesus is doing heart work in his followers. He turns us, as it were, from bad trees into good trees. From trees that bear bad fruit to trees that bear good fruit. And what is the good fruit? Well, it's the good things. Look very carefully at this verse. It's the good things that Jesus is storing up in our hearts. He's addressing followers here. And as followers, it's like Jesus takes our hearts and he starts filling it with the good things that he has to say about life. The good things that he has to say about God. The good things that he has to say about the universe and where it's come from and where it's going. That's the good things Jesus stores up in our hearts, telling us how to behave. And it says Jesus stores that stuff in our hearts that starts to produce fruit on the outside. And there's one particular way that Jesus has in mind that this fruit is seen. Look at the very end of verse 45. For the mouth speaks what the heart is full of. The mouth speaks what the heart is full of. Now, if you're still with me, that's a pretty challenging verse, isn't it? Because what comes out of here shows what's going on in here. What comes out of here shows what the Lord Jesus is doing inside us. And it raises the question for me this week, well, am I storing away the good things of Jesus in my heart? You know, does my life grow the fruit? Am I recognizable as a follower of the Lord Jesus? If I went to your workplaces or into your families and asked the question, what type of tree is that person there? What would they say about you? Because Jesus says that for his followers, for those that he has called from an old way of life to follow him, to listen to him, actually we should be recognizable by the fruit of our mouths. Now in particular, what's he just been talking about? Well, the way we judge others, isn't it? The way that we treat other people, the way that we condemn them or not condemn them or forgive them and generous to them. That is the fruit that Jesus grows as he stores his good things in our hearts. Someone following Jesus is someone whose life and whose words should start to show that they're following the Lord Jesus. A person whose mouth is quick to point out other people's faults is probably showing that there's something else going on inside our hearts other than the work that Jesus is up to. It makes me ask a question, really, doesn't it, about what are we storing up in our hearts? You know, there are so many things. Even this week, I asked myself that question. What am I deliberately putting away in my heart this week? Because if what I'm putting into here comes out of here, then it matters, doesn't it, what I'm doing here? What I'm putting into here?
Anger,
yeah. But actually, anger comes from in here. But if I'm putting good things into the heart, that's what Jesus is saying. If I'm storing up his good teaching, his good way, his good word, emptying myself of self-reliance and trusting the Lord Jesus, then actually I'm storing up his good things in my heart. And slowly, the Lord Jesus will be transforming me inside by his good things so that outside my life starts to look more and more like a Jesus tree. That's what he's saying. That's his teaching. And so it made me think this week, well, what am I deliberately putting into my heart? And I was thinking, I went around all sorts of things that I do. So listening to music, you know, music has a lot of things that it puts in your heart. And it's a powerful tool for doing it, doesn't it? So what sort of things are the songs I listen to putting into my heart? Or am I deliberately making time to get the good things that Jesus teaches into my heart? Am I storing it away so that the good things come out of my mouth? So do we grab a Bible in the week? Do we pick up the Word of God? If you haven't got a Bible, please just take one, honestly. Because this is the Word of Jesus. We've got nothing else better to give you. But this is how we get the good things of Jesus stored in our hearts. You know, perhaps you don't like reading. And I can understand that. Well, if you don't like reading, listen to it. You can listen to the Bible online. BibleGateway.com. Grab a Bible, start listening to it. And get the good things of Jesus stored up in your hearts. What message are we being listening to all the time from different places that store up in our hearts? Because what we store up is what's going to come out. That's what Jesus is challenging us with. Those who follow Jesus are recognizable by the fruit of their lives, the fruit of their lips. So be careful who you follow, because it will show. It will show on the outside. And then the final thing to very briefly show you from these stories is this. Those who follow Jesus, this is why he's adamant, it's right to follow him. Those who follow Jesus will be safe. They will be safe. I don't know if you remember, and there's loads of scenes like this, but earlier this year, I think it was just before the summer holidays, school summer holidays, but there was those floods in Southeast Asia. Do you remember that? Seeing those devastating pictures, these floods swept through and houses were just flattened and people's stuff was everywhere. And it was a horrendous set of pictures. And it's that picture, though, that the Lord Jesus wants us to have in mind with this final set of stories that he tells. Because Jesus ends with a warning about where failing to follow the Lord Jesus can end up. That's what he tells us. Jesus tells this story that we sang about with our kids earlier of two men building two houses that actually look identical from the outside. But the difference is this. One house is built on a foundation of rock. One builder dug down deep and laid the foundation so that this house would not be shaken. The other builder built his house on sand, just on top of the ground. Now, what is Jesus talking about? Well, he's talking about these houses, and when the flood came, just like in those Southeast Asia, when the flood comes, one house is totally destroyed and the other house stands firm. Now, what is Jesus going on about? Have a look at verse 46. Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do what I say? He is addressing people who come up to Jesus and say, Jesus, you know, Lord, Lord, yes, you're the one in charge. Think about that word, Lord. We don't use it very much, but it means, yes, you're in charge. You have authority. And so someone coming up to Jesus is someone saying, yeah, Lord, Lord, we think you're in charge. We think you've got the right things to say. We think you're important. He's addressing people who say that, who come to church on a Sunday and sing the songs and pray in the right ways, but who never do what Jesus says. That's the danger. Lord, Lord, you come, you give all the outward show, but you never do what Jesus tells you to do. And look at what Jesus says about them, verse 49. It's a shocking picture. Verse 49, the one who hears my words and does not put them into practice is like a man who built a house on the ground without a foundation. The moment the torrent struck that house, it collapsed and its destruction was complete. He's talking about a house that has no foundation. If you build your life on listening to Jesus, maybe even coming and giving it all the Lord, Lord stuff, but without doing anything Jesus says, you are like a house with no foundation. And when the torrent, the flood, which is a Bible picture of God's judgment, when that comes, what will happen? It will be a house that is destroyed, a house that is ruined. The house of their life will collapse. See, Jesus is warning here that actually if you refuse to follow him, if you listen but refuse to follow, your life will end in ruin. That's what he's saying. As hard as that may be to hear, he's talking about the fact that Jesus is the only way to be safe in the judgment. Now that is true whether you are simply a member of the crowd listening in. You've got to remember this, okay? They're on a mountain and there are crowds surrounding this conversation that Jesus is having with his disciples. And if you're there here even this morning and you're just a kind of an interested crowd member listening in, actually, this is true for you. If you refuse to follow the directions of Jesus, to do what he says, then actually, Jesus warns that you are a house that will collapse when the judgment comes. And actually, the even more shocking thing, I think, is because he's addressing followers. If you are claiming to be a follower of the Lord Jesus this morning, and you come to church and you say, Lord, Lord, and you know, you give it the Lord, Lord language, but refuse to do anything that Jesus says, then he's warning us that the place that we're heading is to be a house that collapses. And so if you come on a Sunday and what you hear from the Word of God makes no difference to your Monday, then listen to Jesus' warning. If you come on a Sunday and you open your Bible in the week and you hear it, but it makes no difference to your relationships, no difference to the way you're doing anything, then you need to listen to Jesus' warning. Those who say to me, Lord, Lord, but don't do what I say, well, they're like a house that will collapse. But Jesus warns us not to be someone like that. This is what Jesus wants of his followers. This is why it matters who we listen to. Look at verse 47. There are three things this verse tells us that a follower does. They come, they hear, and they do. They come, they hear, they do. See that verse 47? As for everyone who comes to me and hears my words and puts them into practice, I'll tell you what they are like. And look at what he says. They are like a man building a house who dug down deep and laid the foundation on rock. When the flood came, the torrent struck that house, but it could not shake it because it was well built. Those who follow the Lord Jesus are safe when judgment comes. Those who follow the Lord Jesus are following the one who comes from God to help us. He came to face the flood of God's wrath. You know, at the cross, what was Jesus doing? Well, he was taking the flood in its full force. It's a picture. But at the cross, the Lord Jesus was taking the kind of the final judgment that we deserve upon himself. It's like it was brought forward just for a day in history so that everyone who comes to Jesus, who follows him, who seeks forgiveness from him, will no longer be destroyed by the flood because Jesus at the cross was destroyed in our place. He was hit by the flood where we deserve to be. And why did he do it? So that as I follow him, as I receive the forgiveness, not condemnation that he offers, that actually I can be guaranteed that when the day of judgment comes, I will be safe. I will be like a house standing firm. Why? Because I've built down onto the foundation of Jesus. I've followed him. I've listened to him. I've done what he said, which is come to him. And that will be a house that stands firm. We are safe because we've rested on the one who forgives us. And I want to ask you this morning, are you those who have built yourself on the foundation of Jesus? Have you come to him and said, Jesus, I need forgiveness. I'm worthy to be condemned. I'm worthy to be judged. But Jesus, you call me to follow you. And you offer me forgiveness. And you want me to follow your lead. You want me to listen to you. Hear you. Do what you say. Jesus, I want to be a follower. A follower of Jesus is something that you become. There's a big misconception about that. You know, I was talking to someone on the street the other day, and it's very common for people to think that, you know, you're either born a Christian or you're not, depending on which country you're from. But that's not how it works. You're not born a Christian. You become a Christian when you hear the voice of Jesus saying to you, follow me, and you leave the old and you become part of the new, and he forgives you and he says, be the student and I'll be the teacher. That's what it means to become a follower of Jesus. And this morning, that is an action you can take. When he says his followers are those who come, who hear and who do, the first thing he says to you is, follow me. Turn from the old, turn to the new. I'll forgive you and we'll journey together. That is what he's talking about. Will you take that action? Will you take that action this morning, if you haven't already, of becoming a follower of Jesus? Jesus warns, be careful who you follow. Because who you follow determines where you end up. Think, going back to the triathlon story, okay? These runners, now they cottoned on, they worked it out. But these triathlon runners, they were legging it down the wrong side, going full force. These were the leaders of the race. But they've been pointed in the wrong direction. But actually, who are we listening to? Who are we following today? Jesus tells three parables to his followers to stress the importance, friends, of following the Lord Jesus and to warn of the danger of the alternatives. We follow him as the teacher who trains us. As we follow him, we will become like him because we're learning from him. Who are you becoming like? Who is your teacher? We follow him because he turns us from trees bearing bad fruit into trees that bear good fruit. We're recognizable. How are you recognizable today? And we need to follow Jesus because he alone keeps us safe when the judgment comes. So that's the importance of following Jesus this morning. Let's pray, shall we? And then we'll do some other things. Father, we thank you this morning for the joy of the Lord Jesus, that he is the one who came into this world that we might follow him, that we might be forgiven rather than judged and condemned, that he was the one judged in our place that we might be forgiven. And we ask, Father, that we would be those with the many voices that surround us in life that follow the Lord Jesus, that we wouldn't make the mistake of following the blind who will only lead us to a pit, but that we will follow the Lord Jesus and that we will store up his good things in our hearts and that we will be those who know the security of building on Jesus the rock. Father, please help us this week. Forgive us for following others where we shouldn't have. Father, help us to listen to Jesus. Help us to be those who come, who hear, and who do today. Keep us from being those who say, Lord, Lord, and walk out of here today and do nothing. Father, we hate the thought of that hypocrisy. Father, help us please. In Jesus' name, amen.